All right, so tonight we're going to start a series this month on the life of a worshiper. But we're going to do a 4-5 week series on worship and praise. One of the things that we can attribute some of the things that's been happening at New Life is because the growth of worship in our midst. How many get that? How many have noticed the difference in worship in our midst? Not just I'm not talking about these because they're professional. They better be good, and anointed. But our worship team has become more and more anointed, and so we want to encourage that. And our Wednesday night group, as seeds in our Sunday morning congregation, we want to exemplify the life of a worshiper and model it in front of people so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to be everything that He can be in the midst of worship, in the midst of praise. And we want to grow in that. So a lot of this may be, because I'm looking at a lot of worshipers, a lot of this may be second nature to you. That's okay. We need to really go back over it and understand that there is not a worship service that it's just we're singing songs. You know, when the Scripture says God inhabits the praises of His people, I believe that it's when we reach that extemporaneous or unplanned worship, that's where God enters our worship. It's not that He's not listening and receiving our praise and worship. Songs are great, but how many know a song written 10 years ago may have had an anointing, we've sung it 100 times, the anointing may not be on it anymore. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? You know the song so well, you can sing it and think about washing dishes at the same time. You know where I'm at. And so, but we want to get to a place, use that music to get to a place where something uncreated happens in our spirit. And out of our spirit, man, we begin to praise and honor God in a song that we never sang before, we'll never sing again, but it's something coming up out of us, the words and the melody enact the power of God. God reacts to that, inhabits our praises, and signs, wonders, miracles, all kinds of things happen in that place. And that's where we want to reach. And the longer that we stay in that atmosphere, the more extemporaneous worship happens. And I would love to have a day when we just sing anything but planned songs. Come on, someone. Just playing the music and singing whatever comes out of our heart. That's the uncreated place that I'd like to be. So tonight, living the life of a worshiper, John chapter 4, verse 23. You can turn there if you have your Bibles, or maybe up here, John 4, 23. But the hour is coming, Jesus said, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Father, tonight, Lord, we want to enter that place. God, we want to remind ourselves and each other how very important it is for us to worship in spirit and truth. God, to allow Your Holy Spirit to work through us. So much can be accomplished, and even warfare, we'll talk about that later on this month. But Father, even warfare, even chasing the enemy with worship and praise. Father, there was a time in Your word that You sent Judah first. You sent the praisers first and the worshipers, and the battle was won in praise. Father, teach us, Lord, remind us, bring us back to the point where we remember how very important it is that we show up in worship. That, Lord, we concentrate on You, worshiping You and honoring You. Father, it's a command in Scripture over and over and over again. And so, Lord, wherever we've grown lax, help us to tighten it up, God. Wherever we've taken advantage of worship time to wander off in our thoughts, Father, we want to concentrate on You, to give You praise and to pour praise and worship upon You, Holy Spirit, that You might have Your way in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For worship to be genuine, it must be consistent. God desires that we live a life of consistency before Him, and in fact, He made provision for us when He resided in us. The Holy Spirit within brings worship to a whole new level when we yield to Him. And the Scripture is replete with encouragement and even command. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." That's all of us, body, soul, and spirit, entering into worship. Psalm 138 verse 1 says, "I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee." Psalm 86:12 says, "I will praise You, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Your name forevermore." King David says in Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Psalm 111 verse 1 says, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." So when we're praising, we're worshiping, God desires, in fact, commands us to enter in all the way in worship. And sometimes that's very difficult because our flesh gets in the way. It's either too loud, not loud enough. It may not be songs that we like. It may not be a worship person leading worship that you don't especially grow fond of. That has nothing to do with worship. And we as mature believers need to realize when we worship the Lord, it's out of our inner being that we worship. No matter who's accompanying us, if they're out of tune, they're out of tune. If it's not the right beat, it's not the right beat. If it's too loud, put cotton in your ears. Do any, but enter into worship. And there's something that happens in the corporate setting, and we're beginning to see it here in New Life. There's something that happens in the corporate worship. What you do at home and in your car and alone and all the worship that you take care of, we're going to address that. But when we come together corporately, we come together for one thing and one thing only, and that's to worship God. If the overhead's not working well, sing in the Spirit. If you don't know the words, sing in the Spirit. You'll never miss singing in the Spirit. You're always right when you sing in the Spirit. You don't even need to spell the words. Just sing in the Holy Ghost. Because what we're looking for is God to draw His attention and enter in and inhabit our praises. And when He does that corporately, when God shows up and manifests, the rest is taken care of. Like what happened on Sunday. What happened on Sunday was no accident. We prayed for a week 24/7. How many know? God honored that prayer. We prayed and asked God to move in a powerful way. And we shouldn't be surprised when He answers. But there's a special place that we entered in worship, and God showed up and manifested, and that was it. It had nothing to do with the message. It had nothing to do with what it had to do with God moving on the hearts of people that hadn't even planned to be baptized. Some people that were far away from God were drawn in that moment. And a lot of it had to do with worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul speaking, he says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." A lot of people, there's some arguments about whether or not we should sing and worship in the Spirit when unbelievers are around. We shouldn't shout and try to draw attention. But, you know, I've found over the years, God doesn't wear hearing aids. It surprised me at first. I thought maybe I needed to shout so I could get His attention. How many know God hears the littlest whisper? In between worshiping, we can be praying in the Spirit because that's where the activity begins to happen. That's the uncreated man worshiping, the uncreated spirit worshiping out of us. And we don't know what the Holy Ghost is saying. But you better believe He's saying something to draw God's attention. And Paul says, "I'll sing with my understanding and I'll sing with the Spirit." And then in Ephesians, over in Ephesians 5:19, Paul says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So look what he says. He says, when we get together, we speak to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs. We're singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That's powerful. And I know we're already doing that. A lot of us are doing that. And we've come a long way. I used to see in Sunday morning, I used to look back and see people kind of sitting and looking around. Okay, we'll wait till this is over, I guess, and the preacher gets up. But now we're seeing almost everybody entering in. That's a powerful thing when a whole room begins to worship the Lord together. Everybody's entered in. Number one, it gives no room for the enemy to come in. When everybody's worshiping and the Spirit of God is moving, it's a powerful thing. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I try really hard to be a worshiper all the time. I'm in the car, I've got worship tapes or CD on or got something. I'm trying to enter into worship. Why? Because if I practice the presence of God, I get addicted to it. I want to be there all the time. That's a good addiction. Come on. I don't need Jenny Craig to help me off of that. We need to get to a place where it becomes second nature to us to worship. So when we come together, we're worshiping God. Psalm 22:3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. O you that inhabit the praises of Israel, you are holy. So let's look at some of the definitions of praise and worship. Again, this is probably rehearsal to you all. Praise in the Hebrew, one of the definitions is yada, Y-A-D-A-H, and it means to use the hands to hold up or out to worship with extended hands. People say, well, I can worship with my hands down at my side. Yeah, you sure can. But God says when you enter into praise, you lift your hands. And I submit to you that if you have your hands lifted, it's hard to think about anything else but the person you're lifting your hands to. If you're standing like this, you can think about, you know, the dirty sink or the lawn that's not mowed or the shovel, the snow that's not shoveled. Well, when you got your hands up like this and you're worshiping, I submit to you, you're concentrating on the one you're worshiping. It's just, I don't know, the arms are connected with the spirit, you know, when you're lifting your hands. And scripture says to do that, I desire all men lift up holy hands, Paul says. And then halal is to be clear, have a clear sound, and to celebrate praise. And then worship in the Hebrew is shakak, and it means to depress, to prostrate in homage to the royalty of God, to bow down, to fall down. When we get on our knees, when we lay before the Lord, something happens because it's an obedient step, and something happens to God, and he begins to inhabit that kind of praise and worship. Scripture says to bless the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's barak. It means to kneel, bless God as an act of obedience. Rejoice. Several meanings for rejoice. Sama means to brighten up, to be cheerful and happy. Qual, to spin around under the influence of violent emotions. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Everybody there? Verse 12, it says, Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Now that rejoice in the Spirit, go ahead and do a word study on that, and you'll find that rejoice was him spinning around under the influence of violent emotions, and some scholars say he spoke in tongues, spoke in the Spirit. Of course, how many of you know that Jesus Christ, the man, was baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many of you realize he prayed in tongues all the time? Come on, somebody. We don't ever think of that. Why do you think the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray? He prayed around them all the time. I mean, he was a man of prayer. Well, what was he doing? Hey, teach us to pray. What is that language? Teach us. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. But he wouldn't ask us to do anything he didn't do. And when he was rejoicing because Satan had fallen like lightning from the sky, he spun around and violently, emotionally began to praise and worship the Father for the great thing that happened with the disciples. Alots means to jump for joy or to exalt. Some of us are too dignified to do that, you know. Jump around, run around the church and jump up and down and act foolish and get all sweated up. But see the Colts make a touchdown 2 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, and I've seen men lose themselves. Well, Pittsburgh, we don't even go there. And ran in to shout for joy or to cry out, sing with a loud voice. Praise, worship, blessing, and rejoicing. And then, of course, 9 biblical ways to worship. How do we worship? We sing. Psalm 95, 1. Psalm 81, 1. You can look those up later. With our lips, the fruit of our lips, giving praise, Psalm 51 says. Psalm 145, 21, and Psalm 51, 15, with our lips. Shouting is a way of worshiping. Somebody says, what are you yelling at? We're shouting because we're excited about the Lord. Not necessarily emotionally, getting all emotional about it, but we shout out of obedience. The Bible says to shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord with all your strength. When we shout to Him, we're drawing His attention to our situation. It's not that He doesn't know what our situation is, but it magnifies whatever situation we're in, and God enters in there, shouting in Psalm 5:11 and Isaiah 12:6. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, Psalm 47:1. Clapping our hands. Well, we clap. We're clapping. That's out of obedience to the Scripture. That's a command of Scripture. Clap. It's not a suggestion. You know, we find it very hard sometimes to clap in the presence of the Lord, but when a movie star or somebody, you know, somebody does something good or somebody sings a song, man, we're clapping to them. What are we clapping to them for? We're clapping because they did a good job. How many know God does a good job every day? He deserves our clapping. Psalm 134 and Psalm 141, verse 2 in each one, lifting hands to the Lord. We praise Him with instruments in Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. On a 10-string instrument, Psalm 150, 3 through 6. Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Standing in Psalm 134, 1. We stand and we praise God. Why do we stand and we worship? It's to honor the King. Now, you can worship sitting down. It's okay, but God says to stand in His presence. How many know you go over here to the courthouse, you go in to pay that traffic ticket, and the judge comes in, all rise. What are we all rising for? To honor the judge. How many know we stand and we honor our King? Psalm 95, verse 6, bowing down before the Lord. And then in Psalm 149, 3, actually dancing. Can you believe it? There's something freeing about dancing. And it's usually not dignified because not many of us can dance very well. It's not dignified at all, but we're not dancing to prove to each other we can dance. We're dancing before the Lord. What's that do? That knocks down all pride. You can't dance before the Lord and be prideful. Unless you're really good at it. And you got to fight something else. I'm not good at it, but I like to dance before the Lord. And the Scripture tells us that we're to dance before the King. The results and the benefits of worship. Worship brings forth the reign of the Lord. Zechariah 10:1. You have that up there? No. Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds and He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Worship brings forth the reign of the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 65:9. Get a little exercise here and go to Psalms. Psalm 65:9. What is that? Somebody bring a cat in here tonight? 65:9. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. Worship brings forth the river of the Lord. The rain of God, the river of God. Number three, worship brings forth the presence of the Lord. Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Worship brings forth the presence of the Lord. People say, well, why do we come in and sing for a half an hour and 45 minutes? Usually, it takes about a half an hour and 45 minutes to get the week out of us. We're full of the week. And the week needs to leave so we can be in the presence of God. How many know? And it just really, sometimes it's like priming the pump. The water doesn't come until you keep pouring water in. So you get water out. So we worship. Worship brings forth the presence of the Lord. Turn to Exodus 29. Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29:41. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning of sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. There shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with you, children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And so I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, that I am the Lord their God. It brings the presence of the Lord. Worship brings forth the prophetic spirit. Pure worship brings forth the prophetic spirit. Not that it needs to happen all the time, but you'll notice sometimes, to those who are spiritually discerning, sometimes the worship just isn't flowing like it should, and no prophecy comes forth. No tongues, no prophetic. And that's okay. But how many notice when we reach a certain place in worship, two or three prophetic words come forth? Why? Because that's churning up the spirit of the prophet in people. That's when we want to hear from God. We want to pay attention to what He's saying, because if God is talking, how many know it's meaningful? If God's prophesying, it's meaningful. Number one, it's got to match with His Word, but if He's saying something to us, it's for us at that particular time, and we need to take heed. And so as we worship, the spirit of prophecy comes. Worship also brings forth the song of the Lord. And what I mean by the song of the Lord is that extemporaneous worship that happens. And it's a powerful tool in the hands of the Lord when we begin to worship and the song of the Lord comes forth, it creates stuff in the atmosphere. In Philadelphia, for about the last 2 or 3 years we were there, we sang in the Spirit and sang the song of the Lord for a half an hour, 45 minutes before Sunday morning worship. We just start to sing. And whoever was there would sing with us. And sometimes there's a half a dozen, sometimes there's 20, sometimes there's only 4 of us. But man, when we had some people in there, we just began to sing whatever came to the keyboardist and we'd begin to sing. And by the time worship would start at 10 o'clock, we had church at 10 o'clock, and by the time worship would start, we were already there. We were already singing the song of the Lord. It didn't take 4 songs and a hallelujah. We were already there. Why? Because we were understanding that worship brings forth that uncreated part of worship that God so desires. Number 6, worship brings forth the power of God. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles 20, 21 and 22, and Acts 16, 19 through 34. Why does it bring forth the power of God? Because God inhabits the praises. And when He comes, how many know God is powerful? He doesn't need any priming. He just needs to know that what we're asking, He is willing to answer. Worship brings forth the victory in defeated spirits. You can't be sad and worship. You can't be sad and truly worship. If you are, you're pouring your sadness upon the Lord. And what's He do? He gives us a spirit of joy for heaviness. Psalm 25 and verse 1. Just one example. Psalm 25 and verse 1 says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." A psalm of David, by the time he gets to the end of the psalm, he is crying out to God. Well, he starts, "You cannot be sad, and God will lift our spirits as we worship." What are we reaching for? We're reaching for the song of the Lord. Everything has become entertainment so much in Christianity. I don't mean everything, but just about everything. You know, the person comes out and they're singing a song we like, and the lights go out and the spotlight comes in and the worship leader comes out and everybody's standing over for this worship leader. Who is the worship leader? Who are we giving a standing ovation for? We're giving a standing, that worship leader should stay in the dark. Let God be glorified. Come on, someone. I get that. I understand it. I understand that we have heroes of worship. We really like somebody that worships. But we need to, while God wants excellence, He does not want to share His glory with human beings. He desires excellent worship. We see that in the Psalms when Jeduthun and the others began to worship. They did it with an excellent spirit. David played on the harp with excellence. Demons left when he played on the harp. He will, however, share His anointing that will exalt Him and His throne. He won't share His glory, but He'll share His anointing. And that's what we want to do when we enter into that high worship that He calls us to. I want you, when you come in the room, you folks that are here tonight, I want you, when you come in the room to worship, make sure that you've prayed up. Make sure that when you're here, so that whenever that first song comes forth, we're headed in a direction. We're going in a direction where we want God to inhabit our praises corporately. Music is defined as the art and science of combining vocal or instrumental sounds or tones in varying melody, harmony, rhythm, and timbre, especially so as to form structurally complete and emotionally expressive compositions. Any rhythmic sequence of pleasing sounds, Webster's Dictionary says. And music is used in a lot of areas. Music motivates people to buy through different styles. When I was a salesman, we had certain music playing over the car in the car play. When you went into a car sales, When you go into the showroom, there's music playing that enhances people. If somebody studied it and say if a certain music's playing, they'll want to buy more than if they're hearing something else. Music causes greater productivity on the job. Hospitals use music to create a healing and a peaceful atmosphere. Music is used in therapy for mental and nervous disorders. Music is used to help people recall. Music is used to govern the moods of people. Music is used to free people from tension. And it was used in ancient Egypt as their principal agent in healing arts. 1 Samuel 16, you can read about that. What is music? Music is something that's a tool of the Holy Spirit. The enemy has robbed it. The enemy has robbed music from us. Music's a tool of the Holy Spirit to minister to us. It's used in many ways. It can manipulate people. It can make people buy things and do things that they hadn't planned on doing. Of all the ministries in the local church, the music ministry can be where self is glorified and Christ comes in a distant second. What we're praying for is a worship team that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I believe we have one. I believe we don't have performers, we have worshipers. It's hard. It's hard to have to stand up front and worship and not receive the praises of people. But we have prayed and prayed and prayed, and the worship team is coming into that. And I'm so excited about it. Ricky, you had a question or? Basic principle for the musician is that they must decrease and Jesus increase, and that's happening. Continue to pray for the worship team. I think they're doing a tremendous job, don't you? Those called to music ministry must have their lives in order and living the high Christian to high Christian standards. It impacts our lives, and those ministering in this area must be an example in attitudes, morals, dress, and spiritual commitment. And I believe with all my heart that is happening. And we want to restore David's tabernacle. One of the things that David found out when he worshiped the Lord in his backyard in the tent, the presence of the Lord, it was the restoration of the presence of God amongst his people. For 33 years, people went to David's backyard and worshiped God without having to go through the outer court, the holy place, or the Holy of Holies. There was no high priest that had to go there and sprinkle blood on anything. The Ark of the Covenant was right there in David's backyard. He built a beautiful tent so it stayed out of the weather. But people sat at that place and worshiped the Lord. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month. For 33 years it was there. David restored the presence of God. And when something that I noticed on Sunday morning when we came in here, because we had worship all week. Something I noticed when I came in here to pray before service on Sunday was the presence of Lord was here. The manifest presence of God. Come on, someone. It was just here. And I believe that's because God inhabits it, and He wants to restore His presence in this holy place. You know, we say, well, it's just a room and we don't want to worship rooms or worship church. I get that. But how many know this is the holy place where we come together to meet with God? When you come together to meet with somebody, when you go to the bank and meet with the banker, you expect that banking is going to take place. When you go to the doctor's office, doctoring is going to take place. How many know what I'm talking about? When you go to the office of the principal, the principal stuff is going to take place. But when you get in the presence of the Lord at His throne room, God-like things are going to take place. And that's what we're after in being the life, living the life of a worshiper. David's tabernacle not only restored the presence of God, it restored the order of worship. He assigned worshipers to be there 24/7, and they worshiped all the time. It was 33 years of non-stop worship. And it was a restoration of skilled musicians. Jeduthun and the rest, they were appointed musicians. God wants skilled musicians, but He wants ones that are sold out to Him. These musicians were appointed. They waited on their office in 1 Chronicles 6, verse 31 and 32. Let's turn there, 1 Chronicles. Sometimes we just throw people up to worship. We don't realize that they need to be called to it. Just somebody can play an instrument. 1 Chronicles 6, 31 and 32. Now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest. They were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they served in their office according to their order. They waited on their office and they were separated. They were separated unto God. So you would do well to pray for those that are up front here worshiping. Pray for them that they'd have a heart after worship. That it wouldn't just be something that they do because they feel like singing. And I don't believe that's the case with anyone. But we need to pray, because I bet if you talk to worshipers, some are sitting here with us tonight. I bet if you talk to them, Sunday morning can be a tough time getting here and getting ready to worship. The enemy will do everything he can to attack, to make you angry and all kinds of things. You need to concentrate on being in the presence of the Lord. One of the things that's changed during worship is we're praying together over here at 9 o'clock. We pray in this room, and that's open to anyone. But I've already seen the change. When we cry out to God together and we pray for the worship team, there's something of a high worship that's coming forth. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." If you want to know where the church is, any church is at spiritually, walk into a worship service. When we were looking for churches, Terry and I, that's one of the first things we looked at was, what's our worship service like? Come on, somebody. We get visitors here all the time and they come. One of the first things they're going to notice is how the worship service goes. First thing. Sometimes when you don't see them go back, worship service may have not went so well. Why? Because what are they looking for? They're looking for the presence of the Lord. I'm not talking about somebody that doesn't like fast music or slow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that's coming looking for the presence of the Lord. And they come into worship. So Psalms, song of praise from Scripture, or songs in the character, spirit, or manner of Old Testament Psalms. These are directed primarily to God. I miss the 90s whenever that's all we sang. Scriptural songs. We took passages of Scripture and sang them to the Lord. How many remember? 80s and 90s. Kind of got away from that. And so I welcome that, singing some of those old songs. Because, man, that's singing. You can't miss if you're singing Scripture. It's already, how many know the Word of God is already Jesus? Jesus is the Word of God. And so when we're singing, we can't miss it. Yeah, hymns also. Song of praise of human composition on Christian themes. These are directed primarily to man as a testimonial of God. And we sing hymns. And mostly hymns are reminding us of why we serve God and why we are who we are. It's not necessarily to God. It's to remind us. Spiritual songs are songs of praise of a spontaneous or unpremeditated nature with unrehearsed melodies sung under the impetus of the Holy Spirit. These are directed to God and man. Song of praise to God, a song of the Lord, is to man. It involves both God and man. We begin to worship together in the Holy Ghost. Man, when that happens, ooh, glory to God. Wow. You know what I'm talking about. We reach that place just to extemporaneous one, and you could feel the Holy Spirit sweep in. Man, you just know that God is, it's one of those times you got your eyes closed. You don't want to open your eyes for fear that God's standing right here. And that's where we want to get. And I believe we can get there all the time. where we do business with God. We did business Sunday morning with God. God knows what to do when that happens. And we should just keep worshiping and let Him do what He's going to do. Spiritual songs, pneumatikos, speaking in or by the Holy Spirit. These are songs sung through a human vessel who is singing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually uses our vocal cords and our lungs and our speech to sing back to the Lord. When we speak in tongues, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. When we worship and have spiritual songs coming out of our mouth, it's right on. We're not trying to reach the presence of the Lord. We've arrived there, and God is interacting with us, and there's passion coming forth from Him, and He is going to answer prayer. He's going to win hearts. He's going to win souls. He's going to heal bodies. Why? Because that's what He does. Now we've gotten all the flesh out of the way. Spiritual songs, that's what we're reaching for. These are songs sung through a human vessel who is singing by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, if you got your Bibles, turn there. First Corinthians 14 and verse 3. Prophetic. When we're singing and prophesying. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. The function of spiritual songs is to bring that forth. And when that happens, when we hear tongues and interpretation, we hear prophecy, that is a direct result, I believe, of worshiping the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's a command of Scripture for us to do so. And then down in 16 and 17, it says, in 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's such a wonderful tool. And it's such a powerful tool. It doesn't go without notice that Lucifer was the cherub that covered. Isaiah says he was the one that oversaw the throne. He covered the throne in worship and praise. Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. And it was such a powerful anointing on him that he talked a third of the angels into rebelling against the Lord. That's a strong anointing. Come on, somebody. Music can be used in powerful ways. I mean, music of today, they used to say, play music backwards. You don't even need to play music backwards anymore. I mean, it's just out there. I can't even listen to some of these. What the kids listen to today are just full of vile things, full of ignorant things, full of violence against people, violence against women. And it changes the mood of a whole generation. It really does. How many remember before you were saved, if you listened to rock and roll like me, it changed my attitude, man. Music is a very powerful tool. And it's a powerful tool because it was stolen. Music was created by God to honor Him. And the enemy stole that. He was worship leader, stole that, and brought it in different ways to different people and has wreaked havoc down through the generations. But as we pursue this, worship and praise to the Lord, we pursue honoring Him, centering our worship and praise on Him. And I encourage you to do that when you're at home, in your family devotions. Get worship out. Listen to it. It's so easy to do. Where my wife and I are on YouTube every morning. I've got pages and pages and pages and pages of worship. And we just sing before the Lord. Because why? We know that God's going to inhabit that. So when we come, we're already full of worship. And if we look at, and I know I'm not talking to anybody here tonight, but if we look at worship service at church to be something to prime us, to bring us into the presence of the Lord, it's not going to work. It may work, praise God if it does, but if your heart is not after worship, no human being is going to be able to tweak that. You know, you want to give yourself up, sacrifice of praise, lifting up holy hands, praising Him, praying in the Spirit. Worshiping in the Spirit is a powerful tool. And it creates that atmosphere where something what we saw on Sunday morning took place. That shouldn't be an accident. Oh man, that was great. Let's pray that it happens again. Man, we reached that level. We want to stay there. We don't want to get off of that now. We want to come in expecting God to even go above that. We worship a God that can do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. And we want lives to change. We want people to change. People walking in that hadn't even planned on being here. How many saw the lady in the back? She was sitting in the back. She was just here. She didn't know what she was doing here. And we asked just before we closed, we asked, did anybody else want baptized? Man, her hand shot up. She shared with me her testimony. I'm going to have her give her testimony sometime. She choked on a piece of chicken, died, went to be with God. Years ago, she was hurt somehow by the church, but years ago, she went to the presence of the Lord, and God said, well, you're not staying, you're going back, but I want to introduce you to your grandmother and your great-grandmother. She talked to a couple of her dead relatives she hadn't met yet. She met them there, and they said, hey, it's time to go back. Praise God. She said, I just want to worship God the rest of my life. I want to honor God the rest of my life. So she came up and that stuff, man, I want that stuff to happen. How many know that needs to happen all the time? That's the prodigals coming back. Do you understand that God's answering prayers? That's the prodigals. A couple of the young people that had been on fire for the Lord last year, they kind of got away from God. They ran to the, and some were under such conviction, they finally just got up and, why? It's an answer to prayer. So we want that level to continue. And so, shoring up, we talked about prayer the last few weeks. Now we're talking about praise. Now in the month of April, March, April, we're going to do All In. And the books for that, I want you to get the book if you can. It's $10 for the book. We're going to have it in a bulletin this Sunday. $10 for the book called All In. Couples can read it together. Some of us already have read it. And we're going to go through that. It's a 4-week teaching on Wednesday night. We're going to go through with Mark Batterson is going to do the video. And then we'll do some discussions and teaching after that. It's called All In by Mark Batterson. And if you'd like to order it on your own, you can get it on Amazon. If you have Kindle, I think it's $5 on Kindle. It's $10 if you want the paperback. We'll take orders and order them all together. But that really is a next logical step after talking about warfare. But we're going to talk about warfare, praise, and worship next Sunday or next Wednesday. And then the Wednesday after that, we'll talk about intercession in worship. And we'll go through the rest of the month talking about praise and worship and the place God wants us to be. So talk it up. Invite people to come on Wednesday night. And then the month of April, we'll do All In, and we'll see what God's going to do after that. You can't read the book All In and stay lukewarm. If you read that book and you're lukewarm after that book, you have more problems than one. It'll get you fired up. All In by Mark Batterson. So, Father, we thank You for Your presence in our worship. We thank You, Lord, that You have designed a plan. Just like oxygen and nitrogen working together, you grow plants and you cause us to breathe and you have gravity and there is certain order in this world, Lord, that You put. And one of the things of order that You put in Your church is worshiping. And God, we want to be obedient to that, to take this task in hand. And Lord, bring great joy to Your heart as we obey You through praise and worship. Father, lifting hands and dancing and worshiping and praying in the Spirit, praying in our understanding. All of those things, God, brings Your presence. We're so hungry for You, Lord. So, Father, if there's been anywhere we've been lax, where we have been let things go, Father, we've atrophied into a place where we're just waiting through to get through the song service to get somewhere else. Father, help us. Help us in our private life, so Father, that as we worship You, Lord, that You would inhabit the praises as we lift them up to You. Father, Lord, we thank You for causing this way. What a wonderful way to get in Your presence with Your song and Your music and Your worship. Father, I thank You for that. Lord, we just continually ask. God, we lift up this coming Sunday. Father, we ask that You would bring the prodigal here. God, the least, the last, the lost, those that have been away from You, those that need You, God. Father, the best advertisement in the world is the moving of Your Holy Spirit, where people are drawn to a place they don't even know why, God. There's been two or three families that have done that in the last month. Father, we continue for that to happen, God. We continue to pray for You to draw the lost to us, oh God. To You, Father. That when they come in this house, God, it might be a change of life and never be the same again. Father, we thank You. There's a task lying before us to do just that, Father, to obey You in prayer, to obey You in worship, to obey You in our commitment. Father, You're looking for people. Your eyes are going to and fro across the earth looking for people that are filled with faith. Father, help us to do that, Lord, as we respond to You. Thank You for what You're doing. Thank You for each one that was baptized on Sunday, God. We pray for them. We pray, oh God, that You would keep them, keep Your arms wrapped around them. Lord, Father, speak to their hearts, God. We lift them up, Father. We pray for their commitment in You. And God, we thank You. We bless You. We honor You. Father, I pray for each and every one here tonight that, Lord, there's something that would spark in our hearts, Father, to be willing to be on fire for You at every turn, Father. Let passion rise in our hearts. We thank You for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.